ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever.
Good to see all of you this morning. I'm so glad you're here. So I don't know what's in the box. Jenna Marie has been waiting very patiently, well, at least for a long time, to see what's in the box that she brought it. So I'm going to take a look. Oh, now I know what it is. It took me a second because it was closed. So you can open this and close it, and it keeps you cool. That's exactly right. That's what it is. It's a fan. So you can open it like this. You want to show me? You want to show me how it opens? Come on. Show us how it works. Cool. And then what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Oh, and then you close it. What if it's really hot, like 100 degrees outside, like it will be later today or tomorrow? What do you do then? You melt. You use it to fan yourself, right? So tell me more about fans. It's an old-fashioned one. What would a new-fashioned one look like? The one in your bedroom? Electronic. Everything's electronic these days, right? Yeah. So what does a fan look like? Yes. Okay, so it spins and it makes wind, right? Yeah? What else can you say about a fan? Yeah. Like a fidget spinner in a cage. Which came first, the fidget spinner or the fan? Yeah. Yeah, so the cage is there to protect you, to keep you from hurting your fingers or whatever, right? It's there to keep you cool because when we feel that breeze, it makes us feel cooler. It actually does cool us slightly. Yeah, so it keeps us cool. So what do you think we can say about God or about Jesus or about something that's taught in the Bible that has to do with a fan or wind? Yes. God keeps us cool, yes. And he makes the wind, yeah. So, you know, even if the axis of the world, of the earth, were just 1 degree off, you know what would happen? We would burn up if we were on part of the world, and we would freeze to death on the other. It's perfectly aligned so that it supports life. And if it were just 1 degree off, it would be bad. You know, God knew what he was doing when he created this world. And he does. He keeps us cool. And wind, right? Wind does all kinds of things for us, right? It makes us feel a little bit cooler when it's really hot outside. It changes. It helps bring changes in weather, right? Or maybe the weather brings the changes in the weather bring the wind. But so those go together, and they drive big turbines that look like big giant fans. But instead of having to spend energy to spin the fan, the wind spins the fan, and the fan makes energy. So that's kind of cool. Some of the energy you get at your house comes from windmills. So, yeah, there are all kinds of cool things that happen that God does with the wind. And last week we talked about the wind, or the sound of the wind, of the Holy Spirit, and that the word for wind and the word for spirit and the word for breath are all the same in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in. And and even in Hebrew, all three of those words are all just one word in Hebrew. Ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek, yep. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. Yeah. So what do you remember about Memorial Day? You go to school and you remember what? That's exactly right. You remember and celebrate and honor those who died making sacrifices for you and for me, for our country, and for our ideals. So that's a really great thing that we're doing when we remember what they did. It's not just about getting off of school. It's not just about cookouts. It's not just about the great sales. It's about people who give their life and gave their life. Well, it's good that you love food because we need food to live. All right, well, let's bow our heads and say a prayer, all right? Dear God, thank you for your love and your grace, for your wind, and for keeping us cool, and for those who made sacrifices to give us freedom. Thank you especially for Jesus, who sacrificed his life to give us freedom from sin, from death, and from the devil. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
The blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
Remember, today we are remembering, and tomorrow we're going to remember, not just to eat good food or have a cookout or whatever we plan to do, but we're going to remember those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom, to free us from tyranny. And we humans can be quite forgetful, like the funny little story about the boy who happens to be at a farm, and the farmer, he whistles, and his specially trained dog comes, and he gathers all the cattle. He herds them all together and drives them into a pen. He takes his snout and pushes the gate closed and uses his paw to latch the gate. And the boy's like blown away. It's like, this is amazing. So he says to the farmer, "What do you call that dog? What's his name?" And the farmer looks at him quizzically, and he says, "Okay, so what's that flower that's red and it smells good and has thorns?" And the boy says, "Do you mean a rose?" "Yeah, rose, rose, that's it." "Hey, Rose, what do we call that dog?" We humans can be quite forgetful. Now, that story's probably not true, but the next one is true. How many of you ever heard of Albert Einstein? Yeah, so Albert Einstein, we've all heard of Albert Einstein. He was at Princeton University, right? And the dean of Princeton University in New Jersey got a phone call one day, and it said, "Hello, may I speak to Dr. Albert Einstein?" He said, "No, Dr. Einstein doesn't live here." He said, "Well, could you please tell me where he lives?" And he said, "No, That would be an invasion of his privacy. You'll have to ask him, and then he'll decide whether he's going to tell you where he lives or not. And then there was this really long pause on the phone. And finally, there's a kind of a whisper. And the dean hears, "Hi, don't tell anybody, but I'm Dr. Einstein. And I don't remember where I live." True story. True story. So you think, you know, when you misplace your keys or your cell phone, that things are kind of bad for you, you know? Even the most brilliant or one of the most brilliant minds we've had in over 100 years, he forgot where he lived. So it happens. We are forgetful people. And we can forget the sacrifice that was made to save us from tyranny, to give us freedom, to protect us. We can forget those. And so I'm going to ask you not to forget. So don't forget to remember two things, especially today and especially tomorrow. Remember the Patriot and remember freedom. Let's talk about the first one first. Remember the Patriots, not the football team, but you know what I mean. Patriots, like Merriam-Webster says in the dictionary, a patriot is one who loves his or her country and supports its authority and interests. One who loves his or her country and supports its authority and interests. But I want to concentrate on the first three words, one who loves. One who loves. Because that ties in with the gospel lesson, with Jesus' words we heard just a little while ago in John chapter 15 about the greatest love of all. The greatest love involves sacrifice. It's not the greatest love if it does not involve sacrifice. Hear John 15, 12 through 13 again. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." Now I'm going to ask what most pastors will never ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. It's always a risky thing to ask your congregation to close their eyes. So close your eyes and just take a little trip with me in your imagination, all right? Imagine you're in Washington, D.C., and you look this way and you see the Capitol, here's the White House, here's the Washington Museum, here's Lincoln's Memorial, and Jefferson's Memorial's a little off there. And so you can see all that. And now you get in a car and you go over a bridge over river, the Potomac. And you see there in the hills of Virginia, these hills with some white dots on it. And you're going in that direction and you pull off into a parking lot and you get out of your car and you walk right by the Marine Corps, the Iwo Jima Marine Corps Memorial. And then you keep going, and now there are rows and rows and columns of these white stones that are all very carefully laid out. And you look, and they're gleaming white against the green grass. They're headstones. Now open your eyes. Where are you? Arlington National Cemetery. Now, there are many national cemeteries all over the United States. In fact, there are several not in the United States. But Arlington National Cemetery is perhaps one of the most sacred of our national cemeteries. And in this national cemetery, you have to wonder how many have died. I mean, it's overwhelming if you've ever been there, you know, just to stand in the middle of all this and you just wonder how many have died in service to this country. The numbers are staggering. They really are. So I compiled them, and these are accurate. They are rounded, so don't hold me to the exact number. They are rounded up. They're very, very accurate otherwise. Revolutionary War, 4,400 Americans died. War of 1812, 2,260. Mexican War, 13,300. The Civil War, now the number gets huge, right? Because we're on both sides, the winning and the losing side. 618,200 Americans or U.S. citizens died. Spanish-American War, 2,400. World War I, 116,500. World War II, 407,000. The Korean War, 36,500. The Vietnam War, 58,200. And Iraq and Afghanistan, this number is changing, right? Because it's still active, 4,424 last I could find. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people, a lot of families whose lives were affected forever. And that doesn't even include the hundreds of thousands, millions probably, of people who were wounded in action or who were even permanently disabled. Wow, what a sacrifice. Don't forget. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember the price paid to secure our nation. And if you dare, close your eyes again and just walk slowly through Arlington National Cemetery. And as you go through those rows and rows of white stones and columns, you finally stop at one and you bow down and you look at the name on the stone. And you look and think about their life. And there's a birth date and a death date and a dash in between those two dates and how many years they served. And think of their families, the husbands, the wives, the sons, the daughters, the grandsons, the granddaughters, the mothers and fathers. Think of all the lives that were affected. And you're moved to tears when you think of the price paid, of the sacrifices made, of their devotion to freedom, their devotion to fellow soldiers, their devotion to be ready to die for a friend. And you realize, you know what, all soldiers die, if not in action, then later. And all people die, unless Jesus comes back in the next few days. All people die. Go ahead and open your eyes. Now think of that dash between the birth date and the death date. Do they mean anything? Do they count? Did they for that person? Do they for you? There's one person who made every single second count from birth to death, whose dash was full. In fact, it fulfilled everything that was missing in your life and in mine. And in fact, he rose victorious over death so that if there were a headstone with his name on it, it would have his birthday, a dash, a death date, and then another dash that's still going and will keep going and will never ever stop, and it will go on and on and on into. And his name is Jesus Christ. The greatest warrior of all is Jesus Christ. He's the world's premier warrior. And what did he come to do? What was his mission? What did he do with his life? Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. His dash was a ransom. In fact, the beginning and the end and the dash are all part of the ransom, the price that was paid. He became human. He was conceived, born, suffered, was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. And then he rose again. And he gives to you victory too, gives to me victory. And he makes the dash between our birth date and our death date have meaning and purpose. Because he forgives all of our sins and he gives us life. He frees us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He gives us his Spirit, which gives us purpose and meaning as we live out a life in the Spirit, living a life of love, sacrificing our lives for our husbands and wives, our sons and daughters, our grandsons and our granddaughters, for the people at work, for the people at school, for the people in our community, for the people in our state, for the people in our nation, for the people in our world. That's what gives our life meaning, our purpose in Christ Jesus. So remember the patriot who gave so much, and remember Jesus who gave so much, and remember your freedom. Remember your freedom. The ultimate freedom comes from Christ. It comes from Christ. Galatians 5:1, which you heard read a little while ago, and I'll read it again. Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. Be firm in your freedom and don't become slaves again. Now, in the whole context of Galatians 5, if you read the rest of Galatians, you see that there are a bunch of these people who are thinking, oh no, we have to live by all the Jewish law in order to be Christian. In order to have God's favor and love, we have to check off all the check boxes. We got to make sure we get all the commandments right, all the ceremonial laws right. We got to get all that done. And then that plus Jesus is what I need for salvation. And Paul is saying to the people in Galatia, who tricked you? This is not what I taught you. This is not what Scripture says. This is not what the Christian life is all about. You are already saved. You have been freed from the requirements of the law. You have been freed from the condemnation of the law. Jesus took care of all of that on the cross. You don't have to add to that. If there is some way that you could live your life well enough, then God is a cruel person to send his son Jesus to die when you could have done something yourself. And so in Galatians we find the gospel. You are saved not because of your works, but because of what Christ has done for you. And in Galatians, it talks also about another kind of freedom. Not just a freedom that we have from the law, but now a freedom to do the law. Wait a minute, that sounds contradictory. Well, it's not. You don't have to do the law. You get to do the law. You want to do what's good and right. The law of love, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To do the Ten Commandments. Because that's pleasing to God. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for this world. He created you. He created this world. And so if you live according to those things, not because you have to, it's not a requirement, but because you want to, because you get to, because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, encouraging you to do things that are pleasing to God. In fact, not just encouraging you, but giving you the power to do what is good and right, what is loving and best, what is pleasing to God. So we are free to do good works for the sake of others, to give our lives for the sake of others, to make sacrifices for the sake of others. Theodore Roosevelt, I know you've all heard of Theodore Roosevelt. He was a colonel, right? He was the colonel of the Rough Riders, the ones who did the charge up San Juan Hill during the Spanish-American War. And that's actually how Theodore wanted to be called. He didn't like being called president after he was no longer president. He liked being called colonel. It was just kind of a great time for him. You may not know this. He was the grand architect of the great white Navy fleet of his time. Our Navy had gotten really small, and he pushed and pushed and pushed so that many, many ships were built. Back then, they weren't painted gray, they were painted white, so he was responsible for that. He was also responsible for taking the Panama Canal. He was also responsible for receiving the Nobel Peace Prize and being instrumental in getting the Japanese and Russians back together again after conflict had broken out against each other. And so, oh, and by the way, he did serve as our president of these United States for two terms, right? He actually tried to win a third term as a populist and was unsuccessful in that bid. I have a quote from him, and to understand the quote, you have to understand that Theodore Roosevelt, when he was in college, when he was at Harvard, was also a boxer. And he was kind of undersized and short, but he boxed anyway, and he boxed ferociously. But he writes this, one of my favorite quotes of his. It is not the critic who counts. The credit belongs to the man in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions of life, who spends himself in a worthy cause. Get that? In a worthy cause. He spends himself in a worthy cause. Now, soldiers have become like Christ, right? Because they've given their life for their friends. John 15. They have become like Christ, spending their lives in a worthy cause. Who is it that gives us our freedom. I want to share a quote from Father Dennis O'Brien, a former U.S. Marine Corps chaplain. "It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. It's the soldier." And this one from Lieutenant Commander Kelly Strong of the U.S. Coast Guard. "Freedom isn't free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I wondered how many men like him had fallen through the years. How many died on foreign soil? How many mothers' tears? How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play, felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times taps had meant amen, when a flag had covered a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and daughters, and interrupted lives. And I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. So remember tomorrow. Remember today. Remember the patriot. Remember your freedom. Remember Jesus Christ and the freedom he gives. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks, Lord, for Jesus, who loved us enough to lay down his life and give us freedom from the requirements and condemnation of the law. For patriots who laid down their lives to battle for freedom against tyranny. And for those in the armed forces who still today place their lives at risk to protect us, protect our freedoms. We thank you for our guests and for those who invited and brought them. We thank you for healing Jim. We thank you for new directions and opportunities for Tara at work. We thank you for family, for friends, for employment, for over $162,000 given to our Therefore Go Building Fund, for those who've adopted a missionary and will be supporting them with prayer and provision. We thank you for all the blessings and resources that you've entrusted to our care and your promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. We ask you to inspire and empower us to remember and honor the patriots who have paid the ultimate price for our liberty, and to honor and pray for the safety and blessing of those who serve in the armed forces. We ask that you would bless missionary pastor Lucas Lenz and the people of Luz y Paz as he reach out to people in Renan, Brazil, and beyond. That you would bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people. That you would bless our leaders with your wisdom and guidance, that they would lead according to your will. That you would bless victims of persecution, violence, terrorism, and disaster. Do bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Ian and Juan. Pray for new or better employment for Kevin, Jamie, Anne Marie, Ryan, Chaplain Malone. We pray for a healthy pregnancy for Carly and Sharon. We pray that you bless Tara and Nicole as they start new ministries. That you bless caregivers and those for whom they care. We pray for mercy and certain hope for Catherine and Dot as they live in their last days. We pray for healing for Patricia, Jean, Bob, Elfie, Jenna, Maria, Ray, Junior, Alina, Nicole, JC, Kaylin, Joan, Adriana, Anne Marie, Coleman, Hayden, Penny, Rick, Paul, Skip, Monica, Katie, Becky, Chelsea, William, Denise, Sarah, Linda, Lynn, TC, Janet, Aubrey, Benny, Danielle, Ed, Rod, Courtney, Brenda, Forrest, Charlie, Larry, Ethan, TJ, Tom, Morgan, Chris, Rini, Abby, Cecile, Riley, and Wesley. We pray for healing for those who are battling cancer, especially Rita, Sarah, Alexis, Becky, Elward, Jean, Larry, Ross, Tom, James, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, Sarah, John, Twyla, Toby, Mary Lou, Regan, Kevin, Harold, and that you would strengthen their families. And finally, Lord, we pray that you would connect people to Jesus and to his kingdom. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer, hey! He's our rescuer, hey! We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound, hey! Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is beauty for the blind man, riches for the poor. There is friendship for the one the world ignores. There is pasture for the weary, rest for those who strive. Oh, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. He's our rescuer, hey! He's our rescuer, hey! We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound, hey! Oh, how grace abounds, hey! We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. To the foot of Calvary, there is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. So come and be chainless, come and be fearless, come to the foot. Praise the Lord, our rescuer.